Let's go out to our Rivertown hotline and welcome in Steelers safety Ryan Clark. He's brought to us by Honda North and Armstrong Cable, one wire, infinite possibilities. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning.
How you been, man?
I've been good, man. You know, took a quick trip out to Arizona, get some treatment, start working on the old body, see if the body can function for one more go around with this football thing. But other than that, man, I'm just taking care of children.
Now, is it hard, too, when there's no real structure to an off-season program and OTAs and stuff like that, to find a structure for yourself? Or you've been doing this long enough where you've got a pretty good routine no matter what the rules are?
Well, I think for veterans like myself, you've gotten into a routine of what gets you ready best. We have a very understanding coaching staff, very good strength coach, who understands that some guys need different things to get ready. You know, you can't just implement one blanket plan and get, you know, the second-year guy ready as you do the eight-year guy, the nine-year guy. So for me, I've been doing kind of my own thing the whole time. You know, I've been a starter here in Pittsburgh, going out to Arizona and training. I've now found a place here to train and, you know, just continuing to keep myself in shape. The one good thing about playing defense is, you know, you need to be able to run, you need to be able to hit, and you need to understand how to get yourself in the best position to do that.
Now, Ron, have you hooked up with any teammates? I guess there's a group in Florida working out, a James Ferrier group, and then Ben had a couple of guys in, I guess, recently. Any hook up with those guys?
Well, you know, we didn't go out to practice. You know, all the offensive guys went. You know, our defense, we have two guys who are under 30. So if we can't figure out how to run cover three right now, we're in trouble anyway. We won't win the game. So, you know, we didn't, you know, get together. I know the offensive guys did. And that's good for them to be able to get out and throw the ball at each other. It's also good for camaraderie and chemistry. Next time we get together, I'm just going to go out there and watch and, you know, be a cheerleader. And cheer those guys on. Yay, Ben, let's throw the ball. But as far as for me, you know, I see some guys where I train. Yesterday, saw Heath Miller. They see Matt Spaeth the Wild. Willie Colon trains there. So there's been a lot of us who, you know, we see each other all the time, the guys who kind of are based out of Pittsburgh.
Now, Ryan, does it help to work out with others? Because obviously, well, you guys are self-motivated to get to the level that you guys are at as professional football players. You have to be self-motivated. But does it help when you're working out with other guys to have somebody to push you a little bit?
You know, honestly, for me, and it may be a weird deal, I train in Arizona, and that's, you know, my base place of training. But right now, I want to stay home with the kids and with my wife. But in Arizona, it's better for me because I train with nobody that plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last year, it was two guys from Cincinnati. And every time I would go work out, you know, we all have our own trainer. But, you know, it may be three other people in the building. I would say to myself, there's no way two guys from Cincinnati are going to outwork me. You know, or I'd go in and it would be Green Bay Packers or San Francisco 49ers. And my thing was, I had to outwork. I felt like me outworking everybody who was there from a different team, and the Pittsburgh Steelers were winning that day. So I think I kind of get more motivated by having people around who don't know me. You know, just showing them, you know, this is the way we work in Pittsburgh. This is the reason why we win championships after championships, because guys care. You know, and when you work out with your teammates, it's good because you have somebody that's rooting you on, that's cheering you on. But I think the competitor in all of us likes to show up people from other places. So I kind of enjoy working out with, you know, guys from across the league.
It's a Fan Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan with Steelers safety Ryan Clark. And there's a couple of things we didn't get a chance to ask you about last week. First, the draft, and you're a guy who pays attention to everything in sports. How about this Steelers draft? Some things that maybe stood out to you after all was said and done after those 3 days?
I think a huge thing that stood out to me was Steelers always get the guy that they feel is the best on the board. You know, we never reach. We never go out there and move up in the draft just to get a guy because of name. I think Cameron Haywood is a perfect fit for us. He's a guy that worked extremely hard in college. If you watched him play, he played every down. You know, it's never been a question about this guy's motor. And also, I think you bring him into a place where he can learn and continue to progress. Obviously, you know, a big talk was about us getting O linemen and, you know, tackle. You know, we had Slozell last year. Willie was hurt, you know, so we were able to bring in a guy to do that. Also, try to add some depth to the secondary. I don't know if you can get those guys and, you know, have a number one, but you can, you know, have a nickelback, have a third corner that come into the game. So I think, as usual, Kevin Colbert and, you know, Mr. Rooney, also Coach Tomlin, did an amazing job.
And, Ryan, as far as the Rashard Mendenhall tweets, what was your reaction to that? And has that kind of blown away as far as you're concerned?
I mean, honestly, for me, the thing was, it was tough for me to see him, you know, get the scrutiny and just understanding that sometimes when you say things and, you know, people feel certain ways about him, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Just as he was able to tweet that, everybody can also comment on it if they want. And I think, you know, that's what you have to understand before you put those things, you know, out there into the Twitter world, into the, you know, social networking world. I personally understand what he was trying to say about celebrating a death. You know, it is an eerie feeling, you know, especially some people, you know, who are Christian, just to think, okay, oh, someone has died, let's be happy about it. But you have to also realize what a big victory it was for America, what a big victory it was for the families who still mourn losses from 9/11. So I just think it was extremely bad timing. But I know Rashard, I know he didn't mean any harm, and I was glad he was able to come back and apologize. The thing about words is you can't take them back, whether you type them, whether you say them. You know, once they're out there, they're out there. So I'm just glad that the situation is kind of blowing over and he can just get back to living.
Now, you said you got off Twitter a while ago, right?
I'm off.
Yeah, and you said, and I can't remember exactly what your reasoning was, but is it something along those lines? I mean, not that you were in a situation like that, but just that maybe sometimes it could be more trouble than it's worth?
It definitely is a lot of trouble, just because it's scrutinized so much. I mean, like, what Twitter does is allow us to tweet our thoughts as we think them. You know, not as we've gotten the opportunity to really put our thoughts into words in a way where they'll be accepted as we want them to be said, as we want them to be understood. So I think sometimes guys just get on there and their fingers get to moving before their brains do. So it's a tough deal. I mean, it's good because it lets you communicate with your fans, and as long as you're saying good things, then it's good for everyone. But once you do something controversial like this on a day like he did it, it's tough on everyone. It's tough on you because of the scrutiny, but it's also tough on the ones you offended hurt.
If you were an owner, a general manager, or a head coach of a football team, would you have guidelines for Twitter for your players, or would you even allow them to do it at all?
No, I wouldn't have guidelines at all. I think that's just one of those deals where, you know, it's people's option. You know, they're entitled. I think once you do that, you get into the whole freedom of speech argument, you know, that we're just stopping our guys from doing certain things. That'll be like saying, guys, you can't talk to the media. You know, guys, you can't go out there and talk about the game. So I don't think you can do that. I think you have to trust your guys say the right things. With Rashard, that's not affecting football, you know. It's not going to stop them from being able to run next year. So I don't think it's something you try to police.
Now, Ryan, as far as the overall lockout situation, it's gotten kind of quiet. Is no news good news?
No news is just no news. You know what I mean? I think the thing is, you know, for us to get the injunction and for the state to be denied and for, you know, us to continue to say, oh, we want the state, I just think it's an extremely confusing thing for the players when you tell me you want football. A judge says, hey, well, let there be football. And then you say, wait, no, we don't want football like that. We want football our way. We want football with an extra $1 billion. So for us, it's a good thing because legally it's been seen that the owners are operating in a way that's not abiding by the law. But even with being ordered to lift the lockout, they still aren't operating by the law. So, you know, for us, it's a confusing, frustrating deal. but you just have to wait and hope that we continue to move toward playing football.
All right, just got about
hey
a minute left here.
Are you smarter
and
than your friends?
I kind of avoided
Find
this and
now.
Then kind of put it off a little bit, but we have to ask you, what the heck happened to your Lakers?
Oh, man, we just got beat. You know, we played a better team, a quicker team, I think a more aggressive team, a team that wanted it badly. And also, you got to realize, those guys shot lights out. You look at the first game, winning, have to execute down the stretch. Pau Gasol, who is our number two. You know, even Michael Jordan needed a number two. And clearly Kobe Bryant, as much as I love, isn't Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan needed a Scottie Pippen. But also he needed a Horace Grant to step up. You know, he needed a Paxson to step up. He needed a Steve Kerr to hit the big shot. And we didn't have that. You know, we didn't have guys stepping up all around. And we played an extremely good team. Not just a team with a superstar. And Dirk, Jason Terry, you know, going 9-for-10, breaking the record for three-pointers. Peja Starakovic appearing out of nowhere. I don't know where he's been. I thought he had moved away back to his homeland and wasn't coming back ever again, hitting big shots. And they just outplayed the Lakers. I think they were a team that could match the Lakers in length and also had more athletic talent. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. I mean,
Yeah, but that was bad. You got swept, and you know, the way it ended, embarrassing. Andrew Bynum with the elbow. I mean, that's tough. I've been a Laker. I've been a Kobe guy, too. That was a tough one to watch.
I, you know, I may be a bad guy, but the only thing that bothered me about Andrew Bynum's elbow was that he picked on the smallest guy on the court.
Yeah.
You know, elbow somebody big. You know, I mean, and but I don't, you know, that's kind of like how the Detroit Pistons used to go out. So that didn't. You know, like, being mad and fighting doesn't bother me. So that's what you did growing up, you know. I would play basketball. Somebody beat me. We have to go play football so I can go beat up on them. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I think the league is turning a little bit, and the Lakers need to add some youth, some quickness. And I'm sure they will. You know, Dr. Buss always does the right thing. And we'll get it together.
Always a pleasure, Ryan. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ryan. See you, Ryan.
There goes Ryan Clark, Steelers safety, brought to you by Honda North and Armstrong Cable, One Wire Infinite Possibilities. Coming up next, you'll never guess what Rex Ryan said about Ben Roethlisberger and what he's going to do to him next time the Steelers play the Jets. It's the Fan Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
God bless you.